Welcome aboard Top Dogs Podcast Airlines, where we're soaring through the skies with all of our friends. Join us this episode as we discuss flying habits, preferences, and mishaps. From airplane sonas to TSA tips, we've got your flight-related questions covered. Strap in and prepare for takeoff as the pilot signals the start of our fur-tastic journey through the skies on Episode 82, Furries in Flight.
Shuttle 14 Papa, turn right, heading 180.
Right, 180, Shuttle 14 Papa.
Shuttle 14 Papa, reduce 180 knots.
I'm Stream Arcadad.
I'm Whiplash Wolf.
I'm Luis Aules.
And I'm Trick the Stick. Alrighty, guys. So, I personally don't fly that often, but how often do you guys fly on average?
Okay, well, it depends on how you ask the question. For traveling is one thing, for hobby is another. Concerning... like hobbies, I am a paramotor pilot. I fly about maybe 10 or 15 times, you know, a year generally, whether it's winter or summer. But for traveling purposes, I only take about 2 flights per year. It's pretty rare that I go on flights. I would love to travel more and go on flights, but yeah, sadly it has to go with budgets and stuff. So yeah, what about you?
For me, when I was still in training, I would try to at least fly weekly. And in terms of traveling from one place to another or anything business related or entertainment related, all that stuff, come to think of it, I don't think I really fly that often. I think at most I would fly once a year, at least at most. But again, it's always with the budget, it's always with the money, and it's always with plans, always.
Yeah.
So... me, normally it's, I like to go as often as I can. Normally it's same thing, just budget and where I'm planning on going. Now, lately it's been going to Denver a lot more, so I've been at least going 2 times a year. And then if I go to, let's say, a FurryCon outside of state, that's when I'll fly again. So, about 2 or 3 times. But, I mean, I wish I had more money to do more things, but, I mean, you know, flying and going to places is not really cheap, so... budgeting is usually the best case, and that's not really happening as much as I'd like it to be.
I wish I could travel a little bit more. Louis, I'm curious, like, you said that you try to fly weekly. What do you do exactly? What's your qualification? Because I got a ULM paramotor license, because it is required in Canada, not in the States, but what do you fly exactly?
When I was trying to fly weekly, I was mainly flying the smaller planes, so Cessna 142, Cessna 172s, because I was working up to gain my private pilot's license. And as of right now, I believe, if my memory serves me, I have roughly 50 or at least 100 hours on my flight record, and I still currently have my student pilot license, so I'm not able to fly by myself unless I'm given permission from a instructor in order to do so, because you need to have a certain amount of solo flight time in order to gain your private pilot license. But it is something I'm still trying to work up to. It's just currently in the back burner because flying is just stupidly expensive. Just for flying with an instructor for 3 hours, if I remember, it cost me roughly $300-$400 just for that.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah,
it is a lot.
It's one of the reasons when I went with the paramotoring, it's because it's so simple, it's so easy to take flight. It only costs you, like, I go flying for 2 hours, it costs me $15 in gas. It's nothing. Oh. And it's, everything can be put in your car, the motor. If you have a pickup, you can put the motor in the back, but I have a Honda Civic, so I have a hitch mount that I put my paramotor on, and it's really easy to travel. I would love to fly airplanes, like Cessnas and stuff like that, but it's just like... For me, it's, if I want to learn it in Canada, it's $200 an hour. So trying to get those 50, 100 hours is going to be very costly. I think with my paramotor, I'm at 40 or 50 hours. I have to check my books, but yeah.
Good God.
It's so expensive to fly. My God.
I can only imagine how expensive it is when you have your pilot license, you have your qualifications, but you also own a plane.
Oh,
can you
yeah.
just imagine how expensive that would be? It's an expensive hobby. It's a fun one, but it's a ridiculously expensive hobby.
This is why paramotor was the ultimate solution. There's like, it's as cheap as it gets. It's like buying a bike. It doesn't cost anything relatively to compared to a car or a plane. It's dirt cheap. But
yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that on cars.
So, all right. With how expensive flying may be, I personally like taking trains because I love the views. But for you guys, why would you choose flying over other means of travel?
Oh, all right, I can go ahead.
Either Lewis or Whiplash. But rock, paper, scissors if we need.
I can't really answer. I think Whiplash wins on that one.
I can guarantee you one thing right now, which would be a main thing, probably for all of us. So, to me, it'd be like the case of like how far the distance is and how willing are you wanting to drive from your spot to your destination. Let's say from like where I live at in Florida, where I want to go to possibly Reno, Nevada, like I did before. That is over a day drive. I will gladly take a flight to Reno, Nevada, which takes like 6 hours. I'm fine with that. I would be more than fine with that. You know what? It might be more cost efficient too if you think about it, because if you drive, you're not going to really sit on the road the entire day driving from one point to another point. So you're going to have to stop to get fuel probably about 2-3 times, and then you have to get a hotel room for the night, and then you also got to get food on the way. So possibly in the long run, it may not be the same price as flying, right? Am I wrong? But you get more time to do other things you may want to enjoy too, you know, like sleeping.
Yeah. What about you, Lewis?
I think along with other people, the convenience of flying is very much unmatched. Compared to if you want to travel from Seattle to New York, that's literally like a day drive. But on a plane, that's roughly a 3-4 hour flight. People love the convenience. I have ride on a train before, and I especially love the views. I didn't mind it. And honestly, I would say it's a lot more comfortable than flying because you actually have a bit more space. But flying is just one of those things that it's just convenience. It's just pure convenience. And even when we compare it to the UK, where you can travel like less than an hour from London to almost anywhere in the United Kingdom, there's not exactly that kind of privilege in the States. But for me personally, another thing that's just like a plus for me, it's always the view from above. You don't exactly get that when you're on the ground. Yes, you're close to nature. Yes, you're close to the view. Yes, you're able to make pit stops and take your time. But the view from up in the sky is something that still puts me in awe, which is why I always love the window seat. The window seat would always be like the ultimate must-have seat. In the middle, I could care less. The aisle is just like the bonus because you don't get to disturb others.
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's really hard to drive a car over the Atlantic. You know, cars tend to sink, so going for a flight is usually a better option than taking a boat. But honestly, I think plane, time is money, right? So you can either drive down there, use FWA. Okay, so I drove last year at FWA all the way from Montreal all the way to Georgia, Atlanta. It was a 20-hour drive. That was 2 days of driving, and I did the math. And it was 3 times cheaper for me to drive all the way down there. But I lose 1 day since I have to take 2 days for travelings, 2 extra days rather than 1 day going in, 1 day going out. I need 2 days. I lost 2 days of salary. So even taking that into account, I was still very cost effective. And another factor is I had a ton of luggage. I had DJ equipment, fursuit, sleeping bags, merch, fans. I had 2 fursuits. So if I would have added that, the cost of the extra luggage for the plane, oh my God, it was skyrocketing. It was going out of proportion. So for me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to drive it, and it's going to be an opportunity for me to, you know, discover the United States more down on the earth. I've flown above it a few times, so I thought like driving it could be a very fun experience. And honestly, I really enjoyed it. I did 10 hours, took a break, slept over at Colton's, and then I did the other 10 hours on my way back home and same way back and forth. So it really is either time and money, but also it's a lot safer. Like, me driving 40 hours, there's more likely for me to get into a car accident than being up there in the skies. Statistically speaking, flying is the safest way of transportation. Or staying.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not really transporting. So, yeah.
Very sure. Well, saying how safe flying can be, do you have any horror stories about flying?
I don't really have a horror story. All of my flights went pretty well, but I would like to bring up a story that happened to my mother. Let me check. I just want to make sure I got my notes all right. Give me a sec.
Well, for now, Lewis, what about you? Do you have any horror stories?
I actually have two. Oh, yeah. One that happened to my sister, and the other that happened to me when I was still on the road to pursuing my pilot licenses. I'll start with me. It happened when I was attending Central Washington University, in which they had a professional pilot program. And at the time, it was around the fall quarter, 2016, and I was doing some flight training with my instructor. Now, the thing that you need to take into consideration is that the airport that we had at the time, it was an unmaintained airfield, and there was no air traffic control, so we were practically just flying and communicating with each other to keep safety of separation. And so I can't even remember what I was doing at the time, but I was doing training with my flight instructor, and then out of the blue, he immediately took control because he saw something out the window, and as he took control, he was like, "My controls," and I just said, "Your controls," so I let go of the yoke, he had full control, and as we dived, I looked to my left, and there was another plane just immediately climbing. It was another student-run plane. So technically, I almost had a mid-air collision with another flight instructor with another student that day. It didn't bother me that well, but I just remember giving a comment to my instructor and like, "You guys open to having an air traffic control program? Because I think this needs to happen." And he was like, "Yeah. Well, they're not with the budget we have. They're not going to do it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it." It didn't really make a dent on my passion to continue on flying, because I still want to do it. It's just right now I'm able to. And long story short, that program was incredibly tight, and I ended up getting kicked out because of poor academic performance, literally within the first quarter. Yeah, it was rough, but that's a story for another time. Another story that I have was from my sister, who a couple of years ago was traveling home from, I think it was from holiday. I can't seem to remember, but I remember she was coming out of Florida, I think. I'll need to double check on her. But long story short, she was, they were climbing out, and I think without any warning, without any knowledge, they have to make a very abrupt dive, which scared a lot of passengers on her flight. I even tried to research the flight that she was talking about, and I still cannot find it. And because my sister doesn't have an interest in aviation and I do, she can't give me the most basic details, like what kind of plane it was, what airline it was, what where was she at least going at the time, or the date. She eventually told me that after the fact, the pilot said that they had to make an immediate descent, which did not make her feel better, and I think it still very much triggered her fear of flying, which I say it's a ridiculous fear, but honestly, I wasn't there to experience it. That's basically what I was told about it.
Speaking of which, like that sudden nosedive, I had some stuff that happened to me when I was flying my paramotor, but my mother told me a story. My mother was in the military, she retired, but on her way to her mission to Afghanistan on March 2009, they were taking this military plane all the way to, I think they were landing in Berlin before going to Afghanistan, and all of a sudden they were flying and the autopilot failed and the plane went into a nosedive. Now, my mother was strapped on with her seatbelt and she was sitting, but there was a person in front of her that was napping lengthwise across a few seats. So when the plane nosedived, her body just lifted up like a dead body from a grave and hit the ceiling and fell back down. So it was quite a bit of a weird one. That person up, I'm pretty sure she lost her, like, she got scared the crap out. That was quite something. But me personally, when I was flying my paramotor, I was still renting equipment at this point, and the wing I was using, you know, you can actually adjust, you can trim your wing so it goes faster or slower, depending on if you want to travel long distances or you want to land. The thing is, those wings, once you trim them out, meaning you want to go faster, you cannot use the standard brake toggles. You got to use the tip steering. Now, I was doing maneuvers and I was doing stuff because my grandmother and my mother was there and I wanted a bit to show off. So I started going into a spiral, but one of the side untrimmed itself by its own. And when I grabbed the brake and I pulled on it, my wing did a frontal collapse and it went, I started dropping a few feet. So I let go of everything, it reinflated, and I flew away safely. Luckily, I was high enough in the skies, and I knew what to do right off the bat, so I let go of everything. But it was kind of scary to just fly, and all of a sudden you kind of drop a few feet. It's really scary. On that same day too, there's four buckles that you need to attach. So there's like the one in front, there's a safety one, and there's two leg straps. Well, I did that, but I realized I didn't do my job properly, because when I started taking off, I felt being picked up by under my armpits, and I looked down and I realized I didn't attach my leg straps. So I was being lifted by my armpit as if I'm like lifting you like this, and I was like, oh shit. So I did my approach maneuver and I landed, and my teacher went to see me. He's like, hey, is everything all right? Like, what happened? I'm like, I forgot to buckle my leg straps. And like, honestly, you managed that situation really well. Really proud of you. Just got a pat on the back for managing the situation. But I've never forgotten ever since I had like 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'm good. All right, let's go. Until a few months ago, I forgot to buckle my helmet, and my helmet flew off and hit the propeller. So I'm not going to forget that one either.
Oh my god.
So what about you, Whiplash?
See, I don't really have any horror stories. I've only flown, like, I think 10 or 15 times in my entire life, but none of them have been bad. Technically, like, the only thing I would consider bad is there being screaming children on the flight. And if you don't have any, you know, noise-canceling headphones, then it's gonna be a horrible ride. Thank God I do, because legit, the past two trips I've made to Denver, every flight, even going from, like, here where I live to Houston, which is, you know, of course, I gotta get onto another plane to get to Denver. Every flight, which is a total of 8, one there, and 2 back each time, there's been a screaming child. And it's so annoying, especially when you have to deal with it. It's just, why do you have to be on this flight? But also, I will say this, for people who haven't flown before, the first time you experience turbulence, let's be honest, Your butt's gonna pucker. And it's gonna pucker. Your butt's gonna pucker hard.
Are you kidding? It's just I'm able to sleep through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can too, confident. But it's just like, if you're awake for it, though, is a question.
Oh yeah.
Turbulence is fun.
It
makes the flight interesting.
It really does. It does wake you up, at least.
Yeah.
It makes the flight a lot less boring, in my opinion. I know it scares people, but I've studied. I have a background in aeronautics. I've actually studied to be an avionic technician. So we learned the basic of aircraft, wing profiles, systems, electronics, and stuff. And they're built like tanks. They're really solid. So I feel really safe. It's just like air pockets. I know because, you know, well, you're a pilot. You know what it feels like in a plane, and it's safe. I go through the same stuff with my paramotor. I hit heat pockets and cold pockets. And it does different things, and it's weird, but I think it keeps the ride interesting. You know, breaks a little bit of the routine of being on a long flight. I think it's fun.
Oh, speaking of crying children, that's something that definitely grinds my gears, but one thing that you see that passengers do that grinds your guys' gears, what would that be?
Where do I start?
Other than the
there's a
children?
Lot of places to start. Well,
only
crying children is a
thing,
very big one.
Guys.
Fine, I don't think it's really happened to me, and technically I haven't had to experience it yet, but have you seen, like, people online who've just seen, just had, like, their feet all the way underneath the other person's chair, and you just see it on your side, or they've had their hair over the back seat they're sitting in,
that
and it's just, you just see nothing?
People oh not God. Respecting personal space, I get that. Ooh.
How like little that you crap. Get on a plane?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna throw you out the airlock.
Yeah, sometimes you just kind of want to. To be honest, sometimes you just want to walk to the emergency exit and just go.
Yeah. I'm getting the hell. I'm getting the hell out. Bye.
Oh, it's like that one gif where the guy just like opens a window and just goes yoink.
It's just like. Dolphin dies out the door. It's funny. Oh, me personally, I gotta say that crying children is absolutely something that grinds my gear. I was gonna say that's why I always bring noise canceling headphones. Also, when they give like the mid-flight snack or lunch and there's like crisps or like crackers and stuff, the sound of every buddy munching at the same time, I hate it so much. Oh, I was like, okay, it's time to put a movie now. That's the other thing. Crying children and like when it's snack time with people like can't close their goddamn mouth.
Oh god, yeah.
For me, crying children would definitely be up there, but because I recently have a nephew and my sister and her husband tried to fly, it's like, okay, my perspective on that has changed. It still grinds my gears, but you just feel bad for the people who are like trying to take care of it, or at least trying to do something to calm down their kids. But the one thing that grinds my gears, because I see so many of this, is just passengers that do not have, like, proper etiquette or respect towards passengers or at least the staff at airports and flight attendants. There was even one. I was actually returning home from a convention at the time. It was a flight, I believe, from Baltimore to Minneapolis, I think it was. It was a flight on that. And I just remember I was sitting in the terminal with the other passengers where we were just waiting for our flight. And then all of a sudden, I just heard a commotion at the counter where you give the people their tickets and then you just board. I don't know what it was all about, but this passenger, I can't even forget his face. He had a bad haircut. He was wearing a white shirt, shorts that go to the knee, and he was wearing sandals, and he was carrying a carry-on case. And he was like, "You're not supposed to say sorry. You're supposed to be helpful." And oh my god, this comment, this really grinds my gears. He basically just said, "You worthless." I'll be censoring that out later.
Oh boy. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
But I just can't stand passengers who act like that, because that's not going to get you anywhere. So why behave that way?
Because people think their time's more valuable.
Yep.
Did you guys know that flight attendants are only paid when the doors are closed on the airplane? So when they're boarding and you're being a shitface to the to the flight attendants, they're not being paid to be there. They're dealing with your bullshit because they have to do it, but they're not paid until the door closes. I just found that out this week.
Oh my god!
I thought they only get paid when the tires leave the ground,
or something like that. What I saw the flight attendant say is that when they close the door and they're starting to move around on the tarmac, that's when they're paid. But when they're standing still, they're not getting paid or anything. So yeah, some people that were sick or ended up throwing up, well, they had to clean it and they were not paid for it. So that yeah, I have a lot more respect for flight attendants now.
Mm-hmm. I wish I remember what my flight attendant said when I was landing in Denver. She said some of the most funniest shit I have ever heard, like when landing a plane. Like, it wasn't like normal stuff that a flight attendant would tell you, like whenever you're buckling up, getting seated, ready for descent to land in the airport. It was like some off-wall bullshit because she knew no one was paying attention.
my god.
Oh, it was great. I just wish I remember what it was, but I had too much fun at Denver. I couldn't remember.
Alright. When traveling, I definitely have made a lot of mistakes in my past. What are one of your guys' mistakes that you've made while traveling?
Especially if you're traveling, not bringing everything that you need for a proper trip. Like, let's say if you... There's stuff you can go out and buy, but let's say if you forget, I don't know... Especially if you're going to the airport, let's say if you forget your wallet. And you have to have your ID to actually get on board, which you have to regardless. Or just, like, stuff where you have to go out of your way to buy more things, like, say, clothing, stuff for your, like, bathroom needs, luggage. You forget your luggage.
Oh my god.
What about you, Hector?
Where do I begin? Because I think there's a few mistakes that even an aviation lover like myself could easily have made. There was a time when I was still attending Vancouver Film School that I was trying to take home stuff and then bring back stuff that I needed for my apartment, and the luggage that I have was a little bit too bulky for the overhead bins, and I was able to shove it in there and then shove it out after I let some passengers out, give or take. But the constant mistake that I always seem to make is accidentally forgetting one or at least two items aboard a plane. There was a time when I was in elementary school, I forgot a hat or I forgot a stuffed animal. And even when I was a teenager, I accidentally forgot to leave. I forgot because I left my iPod in the seat pocket in front of me. I was able to at least get that back. But I don't know. I just don't know why it keeps on happening to me. And at this point on, I'm like, okay, everything I am not going to have in my hand, I'm just going to keep it in my jacket or in my bag and leave it in the seat in front of me so I at least know it's there. I just don't know why that kept happening to me. It happened to me, I think, 5 times before I even learned my lesson.
Me personally, I brought an aerosol can in the airplane. Completely forgot about it. I bought some sunscreen. I was like, I like the spray-on stuff because I hate getting my hands all dirty, so I just use the spray-on stuff. And I just, like, threw it in my bag because we're going to Spain. It's going to be hot. And at one point, like, I'm going through security. I don't even think about it. And then TSA is like, there's something in your luggage. I'm like, what? Like, well, what is it? And then they open it up, like, can you open it up, please? I'm like, okay, open it up. And then he points out, he grabs the sunscreen, like, you can't bring this. I'm like, oh, God, sorry, I completely forgot about that. That was a dumb mistake. My husband just silently looked at me and gave me the death stares, like, you should know better. I was like, come on, stop. You're twisting the knife here. You should know better. Yeah. I was so irritated, but oh well.
Oh, my God.
So that's actually one thing, too. I forgot, this was back in 21, but I forgot to put... I used to carry around a knife a lot, and I forgot to put it into my baggage to go onto the plane, like, into the actual luggage compartment. And I got to TSA, and I reached into my pocket, like, into the line to put my shit on the little running board, whatever it's called. And I reached into my pocket, and I pull it out, and I'm like... Fuck. I was like, oh well, I know this is gonna go. So I get there, I'm like, look, I have this, I accidentally forgot about it. Just do what you will with it. I don't even care anymore. I just wanna get through this shit to get to my plane.
Yeah. Aren't you allowed to have a knife that is no longer than like 4 inches or 3 inches?
It is longer than my fingers.
I think a lot of flight attendants were fighting against that.
Because I remember a colleague a few years ago, I was with my husband, he brought a knife, and he was like, oh, no, you're allowed, I've checked up the rules, you're allowed to have, like, a 3-inch knife. I'm like, I'm bringing it, and they're not going to stop me. And if they give me attitude, I'm going to give them back attitude and tell them to check the laws. I'm like, do you really want to get an argument with these people? Like, honestly, it's not even worth it. You're going on a cruise. Why do you need a pocket knife? It was so stupid to me. But the guy wanted to have an argument with him, and it got through, and I was like, really? But that was like 8 years ago. So maybe the things have changed a lot since then. I don't know.
It has. I don't think you can actually recognize in guards.
Yeah. I've heard a lot more weirder or extreme stories. I even remember there was a guy who had a vape that looked like a grenade. They say that he couldn't bring it on the plane.
plane, and there was even a story I saw. I can't remember if he was military or not, but he completely forgot that he had a gun in his carry-on. He went through TSA, he went on the plane, he went to his destination, and he didn't find out until after the fact, and he was like, how the hell was this able to get past TSA? Like, he completely forgot about it. I don't even know how he forgot about it.
How?
Well...
Well, I mean, I'm glad they got my aerosol can out of the plane.
Yeah, they kind of... Yeah. I forgot one point. I had some, like, just some hand sanitizer in my bag. And I thought that would be fine because it's just hand sanitizer. But nah, they pulled it away. It's like, what is this? I'm like, it's hand sanitizer. It was during COVID times, too. It was like, why I was like, it's why I have it for a reason. I don't trust people on the plane right now.
Yeah. I think they're trying to be a bit more...
The plane.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, I think they're... I don't know if this is like this in Canada, but I think in the States they're trying to be a little bit more lenient with some of the TSA policies. I think they're... If I remember correctly, I think that you're allowed to carry more than a couple of ounces of liquid on the plane now. I'm not entirely
small
sure.
Bottles.
Yeah, small
100
bottles.
100 milliliters in Canada.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be a bit more lenient to it now, but I think a lot of people were just complaining about how TSA functions and how TSA works. But for me, it's just another day at the airport.
See, here you have to buy the liquids after you get through TSA, so you can get charged that extra $5 for a bottle of water.
I just bring a water bottle.
Empty.
Yep. An empty, reusable water bottle. It'll save you the $5.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea, because some of the airports have like that filtration, like water station you can just go up to and just get some.
That's usually what I do.
Alrighty, Top Dog supporters, stay updated with the Top Dog podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that follow button to be notified for every new episode. You'll find all the necessary links in our link tree down below. We appreciate your support.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, if you're looking to snag awesome perks while supporting us, explore our service subscription on Discord and Patreon. By becoming a podcast supporter, you'll access exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, and express yourself with custom hand-drawn emojis featuring the Top Dogs team, and chat with the podcast team and the fellow fans. Plus, we've got the new After Dogs show for mature audiences at just $2.99 a month. Craving more? Upgrade to the podcast supporter plus for $5.99 a month. Enjoy episode voting and supporter feedback and be part of our live audience. Plus, unlock exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligation to join the subscription, but your support genuinely makes a huge difference for our team. And for those who have already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. And if you don't follow us on our socials and like subscribe to our stuff, I think Whiplash has something in mind for you.
Colton also has something in mind for me too, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. If you do not follow any of our social platforms or go to our Discord, join the chat or Telegram group, join us, and talk with us, find you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to you, your house, find your chicken wings, and I'm going to put peanut butter all over them.
Ew!
Oh no!
I thought you were gonna threaten them, but like, I'm gonna call your flight and cancel your flight, so you'll be stuck at home.
Oh my goodness.
So we're currently now at the question of the week, and you can go ahead and read that.
So for the question of the week, it was, what is the longest flight you have been on, and was the destination worth it? We heard from a bunch of our lovely supporters, but here are just a few. From Sandria, from Sandry. Longest flight or longest layover? One of the longest flight I took to my ex was a total of, I think, 6 hours. And I had a 4-hour layover go over in, I think, Phoenix, Arizona. Ooh, that's a fun place to be, though. At the time, I thought it was worth it, as I'd never been to California before, and I see how things are now, not so sure. Aw. From Shindy Diggy Iggy, it's been more than 15 years, but I think my flight from SFO to Osaka, Japan was 11 to 12 hours. Our tour group leader said to make sure we were tired so we could sleep on the flight. I stayed awake overnight and found out I couldn't sleep sitting right up, 30 hours plus awake until I was sleeping in the hotel. Whew. And finally, from Shameless Man 89, 10 plus hours, and yes, went from PNW to Amsterdam, Holland, on the same flight. I'd go back in a heartbeat. Amsterdam does sound very beautiful. What about
Amsterdam,
you guys?
Amsterdam is a...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Amsterdam is a... It's a place that I'm interested in visiting in someday.
Same, honestly.
Yeah.
But, longest flight? I mean, I haven't been, like, across the continents yet, honestly. But I feel like my longest flight is definitely from... See, I didn't even take off from where I lived at, because where I live at, they wanted a grand just for a round trip from here to Reno, or Reno, Nevada. So, I had my roommate drive me, or we drove all the way to New Orleans, which is 3 hours away, for $400 less. So,
wow.
I flew from New Orleans, and we went from New Orleans all the way to LAX. I didn't get off, it was the same flight going to Reno, so I had to stay on the plane. But I didn't have to get off the plane in California to see how much I didn't like California already, to be honest. Because, like, as soon as you land, all you see is smog. That's all you see. Yeah, it was just smog. So I just sat on the plane and we went to Reno. And honestly, it was about, I think, 7 hours, 8 hours, but it was worth it. Reno, Nevada is probably my... I enjoyed Denver, but Reno, Nevada is probably my most favorite place I've been to. It's just hella expensive. Like, everything was expensive. Food, gas, coffee. I never had to pay 10 bucks for a small coffee before.
That expensive? Yes.
See, let me say this, BLC is definitely worth going to, because that's the reason why I went to Reno, but BLC is absolutely worth it as a fun con. Like, I put it on top versus FWA by far, but it is expensive, and I mean, like, it's one of those high-end cons you go to if you have the money to kind of go to it, honestly. Because I did FWA and then BLC because it was in June the time I went to it, and I was a broke bitch for 2-3 months.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Those hotel fees are expensive too.
To be fair, the hotel wasn't bad. It's just, like I said, everything around it. Like, I didn't have to pay for fuel or anything because we just got Ubers, but, like, I passed some gas stations going to some restaurants. It was like $5.30 a gallon for people there.
Sounds like it does in Canada every day.
See, it's kind of why I like Colorado's, because at least their gas is the same price as Florida. So I'm like, yeah, let's go there, please. Because I don't want to pay more than I already have to for premium. I almost pay $40 a gallon for premium. In both cars.
Me personally, yeah, sure. my longest flight was going from, I think going back is always longer when you go the other way around. But I went across the big pond to go to Barcelona. And it was, I think it's a 6 or 7 hour flight. It's pretty long, but I went with Air Transat, and they had, like, individual tablets incorporated into the seats, so you could choose a movie, listen to music, you know, play games. So it was fun, because I was able to catch up on some movies I wanted to see. They had a really good selection. But honestly, going to Europe, I then flew up all the way to Paris, and then I went back home.
I gotta say, going across the big pond and visiting Europe is absolutely worth the flight. I would do it tomorrow if I would be able to. It's great. I just love our European neighbors. They have a lot of stuff to see and a lot of history, many years in the books. So, yeah.
I honestly really want to go to Germany. Germany is a place I would love to go to.
Scotland for me. I'd love to go there.
Germany and Switzerland are probably my favorite locations, as well as the United Kingdom, specifically London. My longest flight was a flight from Amsterdam to Seattle, and that was an 11-hour and 30-minute or 45-minute flight. And I say that the trip was worth it because I had a lot of fun experiences when I was in Europe, because I was doing like the high school like European trip that everybody usually does at the time. And as much as it was really all fun to visit Europe, it would be really nice to just be able to go back home and just like collapse on your bed for a good 6 hours and be like, yes, I'm home. I don't have to do air travel for another couple of minutes until I slowly realize, oh crap, I'm going on a flight tomorrow to a convention at the other side of the country.
Oh yeah. Sorry, my brain, come on. Alrighty, so here's a silly one. For you guys. You guys remember those airplane sonas from a while ago? What are you guys' opinions on that one?
I think they're cute.
Yeah?
You want to elaborate on that?
I think for me, they're cute, and granted, you can take this with a pinch of salt, because I enjoy Disney's Planes, I enjoy that film, the sequel, not so much, but that's another story. I think they're just adorable because of how creative some of the designs are, because I've seen designs of planes being humanized or anthropomorphized, and surprisingly enough, it's stupidly difficult. So for artists to be able to incorporate a very like mechanical design, make it lifelike and adorable, I think that's impressive.
I agree with you. It requires quite a bit of skill. Me, I don't judge, honestly. Whatever floats your boat, or fly a kite, whatever. I think they're interesting. I've seen different intensities and different ways to draw those plain sonas. But what I get is always get like, I kind of get a badass kind of type of vibe off of them. They're interesting. They're different. Not really my cup of tea, but I think they're very fun. And like you said, the movie Planes, I really like that first one. I didn't see the whole thing, but it looks really good. Of course, I'm not going to go on the other aspect. Well, what about you, Whiplash? What do you think?
See, my first like interaction with the plane thing, so were D61.
Oh no!
You know, I was gonna bring that up. I was like, you know what? I don't want to go there.
Oh yeah. No. To be fair.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you something. If you would be a plane, what plane would you be?
Well, I'm not like that much of knowledge about planes, so.
Ew, weird.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea, though. I mean, I have to look it up, but I'm sure I'd be some kind of like jet at least. Not just a plane, because there are jets too. There are people who've made jet sonas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no,
I would see myself as the Avro Arrow. If you guys know your Canadian history.
Are you sure you wouldn't just be a paramotor? Yes, I'm unique.
I would be an Avro Arrow because I'm unique, I'm fast as fuck, and I'm hard to get.
Oh my god.
No, that's a bit of brag, I'm kidding.
Speaking of favorites and things, what are some of your favorite airports or least favorite airports you like to be in?
It's not gonna say Atlanta. I do not like Atlanta.
I never been to Atlanta, but
Atlanta is massive. They have 7 different terminals, and you have to go between each one on a monorail. It is enormous.
Oh, I hate those. I hate those.
See, at least in Denver. So I will say this. Denver is kind of annoying too, because since Denver Airport is like 40 minutes outside of Denver, because where the airport is like the only bit of flatlands that are in Colorado. You have the drive to the airport and from the airport is annoying, but it's not as bad as Atlanta. Denver only has 3 terminals you have to take a monorail between, but it's easy to get to them at least. But Atlanta, like, each terminal is like 2 miles. It feels like 2 miles of walkthrough to get to like one side of the terminal to the other side. It's a massive ass airport.
You want to know the ironic thing about that statement?
Hmm.
Denver is the largest airport in the United States, and Atlanta is the most busiest airport in the world.
Really?
See,
I thought it was JFK.
Yeah, Atlanta is considered the busiest airport in the world.
Damn.
Yeah, makes sense. But Denver, I don't seem that big. That's the thing. Like, going through like the actual terminals themselves don't seem that big. Because I remember Atlanta, this is a trip back from Reno. I had like a 2 or 3 hour layover in Atlanta, so I just kind of like walked between all the terminals, just going through the entirety of the airport. Only thing I got through all of it before I had to head back.
True. I would say a favorite airport for me. Quite a few of them. I would say Seattle and Minneapolis are very much up there. I think the most unique would definitely be Las Vegas International. I think that's literally the most unique airport I've been to. Because once I just got off the plane, I'm like, oh wow, there's gambling everywhere.
Yeah, I've actually figured that out. When I went to that con in 22, that was like the first thing I remember seeing when I got off the plane. It's like, huh, they want you to lose your money before you even get to the hotel. Gotcha.
Goodness.
Me personally, I'm going to be a little bit biased, but I really like the Montreal airport just because how efficient it is. Usually when I get in, like, to go on my flight, it never takes, it's always about 20 minute to 60 minute to reach my gate before boarding. So it's always super fast. And when I came back from Europe, my husband and I, we went really light. We had a carry-on and a backpack. We landed the moment so there's no terminal. So it's just one big airport that is very long lengthwise. So no terminals, so really easy. Bunch of really good restaurants, bunch of bars, bunch of things, ways to relax, shops and stuff. And when we came back, from the moment our plane docked with the airport, walking out, going through customs, picking our stuff and leaving and be at the front, get a front door outside ready to leave, took 20 minutes.
Wow.
I was like, dude, that's insane. It's really fast. It's efficient. It's big. There's a lot of people. It looks really nice too. The worst airport I've been to so far was the one in Barcelona. They had terminals, and I've never dealt with terminals before, and it was confusing the hell out of me, because when you're driving, you're going there, you need to know, like, okay, so it's flight this, but what terminal is it? And then you have to look at the small little characters and says, Terminal 2B. I'm like, okay. And then my husband's like, no, it's 2A. I'm like, are you sure about that? It's like, yeah, it's 2A. Then he goes there. He's like, I messed up. I'm like, I knew it. I didn't want to argue with it. But like, so you had to take like a bus all the way and come back. He was really irritated. It's, I don't like having those multiple terminals. When you brought up the fact that Denver has 7 terminals, I just don't want to go there.
Atlanta does, not Denver. Denver only has
3. Oh, Atlanta. Oh, okay. Sorry,
yeah. It's kind of funny. It's a busy ass airport, but they're efficient. I will say that at least. But they have to be for being the busiest airport that exists. I will say Denver is actually a very nice airport. I do enjoy Denver. It's not bad, but it's a nice airport at least. I give them that.
Yeah, it is a very nice airport.
Oh, yeah. You can go ahead.
I think jumping off a little bit of what Stream said, I think my local airport is it's a guilty favorite because I've just attended for so long. But if we were to jump on the wagon of worst airport, I would have to say San Francisco International that I think is the worst airport for me, at least from my experience.
I would put any California airport as bad.
That's
LAX is rough, but once you're able to navigate it, you're able to navigate it.
So, with worsts in mind, what would be one thing that you would change about air travel, generally? Whiplash, do you want to go first?
One thing I would change about air travel? Instead of having seats that are like so like, I know this is going to be called first class, but instead of having like seats that are just like so close together, just have them spaced out so you can just recline that bitch when you're just flying in the air.
Leg room, I would love to please do that. Give us Let's... leg room. Gosh.
Yes, please.
Leg room would be my favorite.
And seats that can tilt further down than my cheap ass staple office chair. Like, please, I want to recline all the way.
Because, look, if I could just do this right here. Yoink, I'd be happy like this.
Then just take a business or first class seat.
What about
or
the people
take it over
you? Oops, sorry.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh,
well, I'm
goodness.
Saying the space. Space out the seats just enough to where people can have their feet up. Your headrest doesn't hit their feet. They can be comfortable where they're at. You can be comfortable where they're at. You're at. Everyone wins. Like, I know that's first class, but here's the thing is, not everyone has money. Just give me, like,
exactly.
A cheap seat. Just give me a cheap seat that reclines. I'll be fine. I don't give a half crap how uncomfortable it is. As long as I can recline, I'll fall asleep. Like, it can be fucking stone solid.
Then choose an emergency exit seat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, those are fun for that. That's always... Well, if they could give us, like, 3 or 4 inches. Like, I'm not asking a lot. Like, 3 or 4 inches. That's what? One less seat on 8 rows, maybe? Or 9 or 10 rows? You lose 1 row of seat if you give everybody 4 inches more? It's not that bad. But I guess it would also increase the cost of flights because they're not able to pack as many people. So now people are going to complain about the flight prices being too expensive. So it's... That's how the economy works, right? So, it mm-hmm. sucks, but oh well. I would like to get an extra 0.5 degrees of tilt on my seat. That would
oh
be
my
nice.
Goodness. Yeah. For me, if there was one thing about it I would want to change, I feel like this is just me asking for too much, but I would want to change the culture perception of aviation, like how you dress, how you behave, how you prep for a flight, because it never used to be this bad. Like, you see videos online all the time about unruly passengers or just people just having a complete meltdown. There was a point in time where people just had a good time, but if there's one thing that I feel like they need to really change, it's how it's just the meal service, and at least make it an affordable, or at least make it consumable, depending on how long your flight is.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's something going on with altitude. When you go up in altitude, did you guys know that your taste buds don't work as efficiently? This is why a lot of the food you try on flight kind of tastes blend. They actually add extra spices and extra salt to kind of make up for it, but it can shift the taste of what you're eating. So that's why that some of the food sometimes it tastes weird. It's because your taste bud at 35, 45, 50,000 feet, they don't work quite exactly the same as down to sea level. So it's one thing you have to take in consideration. When I take that into account, I eat the meal. I had lasagna the other day when I went to Europe, and I thought it tasted really good. Maybe it's my I went with Air Transat. I really love that company, by the way. Really great service, great price, and leg room, and consoles, and entertainment. It was perfect. 5-star service. But yeah, I know there's some flight companies out there that are, they don't put as much time and money into, you know, the meals. But I mean, that's what happened. You pay what you get for. Nobody wants to pay a lot of money for like a plane ticket. So they got to cut corners somewhere to make up the cost or make it affordable for you. But they still got to at least offer you something to eat. And, you know, all the meals they're bringing on board, it's extra weight that requires more fuel to be able to push, you know, all that weight, extra weight into space in the air. So it's a very, very delicate balance. It's not easy. I would not like to own, you know, an airline company for sure.
I would even recommend drinking soda or coffee or even alcohol. I would strongly encourage everyone to just drink water when they're on when they're flying, because the high altitude does do a lot in your body. When you're at high altitude and you consume alcohol, it gets into your system a lot quicker because the air is a bit thinner, and you tend to get a lot and you tend to get dehydrated really quickly at high altitudes, which is why you should consume a bit more water than any other beverage.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
For final thoughts, what are your guys' best tips while flying?
Well, I think it's, if you're flying, it's really important to be well prepared. And to me, I've always have a series of things that I always bring with me. USB cables, all plugs possible. I always bring a USB battery, because that's always useful. Good noise canceling headphones with an audio jack, so you can plug into your seat console and listen to the movie. You having a good quality inflatable neck pillow will really help with those barely tilting seats. Having a compact foldable blanket can help you feel a bit more cozy. And also getting an eye mask really helps. It's hard to get decent darkness sometimes when you're flying during the day or in the early mornings. So having an eye mask to me is absolutely like a life changer. You can get really good, comfortable ones on Amazon for like 15, 20 bucks. Try to buy it before going to the airport, because you're going to have less choices and it's going to be more expensive. And also bring a pen, because sometimes you have to do some declaration and you have to use paperwork. You have physical copies, and sometimes you still need a pen. So having a pen would be my advice. Less and less likely, because everything is digitized, but still depend on where you're going.
What I usually do just on my trips is usually what I bring with me is a power brick, so you can charge your phone while you're flying. Have extra cables like Fiction or Stream said. Get whatever your phone charger is. Have a charger possibly for your headphones in case the battery case is dying, more than likely. Have, like, I know that I have one for my suit, I'm sure you do too, but like one little fans you could just bring on board and just like spray yourself with it, because there's a lot of bodies on board and it's gonna get hot. Even if there's like, you know, air circulation going throughout the plane, is not going to get to you sometimes, so bring a small little fan along with you. And I will say this, hell, is like an old mask put on your eyes just to sleep. But mirror, also headphones, that's right, headphones are most important, because I guarantee you at least one out of five flights will have a screaming kid and you're going to wish you had them.
Yep, that's completely fair. So many tips that I could provide, but I think the biggest one for me is always, for your carry-on, treat it as if you're going to spend a night at the airport. Make sure that your toiletries are in your backpack or maybe an extra set of clothes. And even, I think my biggest tip for everyone is dress comfortably. Dress as if you're going to a formal event, but ask yourself, can you walk a mile in this? And for people who are on business trips, maybe a change of shoes, because those shoes can be stupidly uncomfortable, especially high heels.
Also, put a tile or an air tag in your luggage. If you lose your luggage, you'll know where they are at all times. I always put an air tag on my luggage. It's super convenient. One thing I forgot to bring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I do that too. It was kind of bad. Like, I forgot last time when I went to Denver, but I only put one in my first suit tote and one in just my normal luggage. So I can, when I get on my next plane, I'm like, you better be in this fucking luggage compartment. I swear to God, I'm going to yell at someone.
Hey, do you imagine? You know the AirTag ones, right? If you're walking along an AirTag that is not yours, your phone will tell you, hey, there's an AirTag following you, and the AirTag will start beeping. Do you imagine if everybody does that, and the guy that is loading up the luggage is in the, like, the belly of the plane, and he has an iPhone? It's like, it must, like, beep nonstop, like, ringing all the time, like, you're being followed, you're being followed, and everything rings everywhere.
Oh, my God.
All right. So remember, if you haven't flown before, when you fly for the first time, you'll have to get used to the air pressurization. Because sometimes your ears may pop, and it's very uncomfortable. Or if you're sick, it's even worse. It's even worse if you're sick.
Oh, yeah.
I suggest chewing gum.
Yeah.
Nasal sprays, too. Nasal decongesting nasal sprays are good. That can help.
Ooh, and breath mints.
I figured that out because, not the first time, but like, I don't know, like, the sixth time I've flown, I got on the plane from, I think, where I live at, going to Houston, and I was feeling like crap the entire time. I was like, oh my god, I just want to fucking land right now. I feel like my head's going to implode on itself. It is so bad.
Oh. I was sick on my flight to Europe, and it was the longest 6-hour flight ever. On my way there, I was sick on my way to there. Oh my god, it was so bad. I became deaf from one ear almost because the pressure was too much. It got away after 2 days, so we were good.
That's good. And all right, for final thoughts, could we have the camera on this side? Okay. I need to warm up the voice. Federal regulations require all Top Dog supporters to apply with posted placards and light a signs located throughout the cabin, as well as any crew member instructions. Smoking is not allowed on any Top Dog flight, and federal law prohibits tampering with, disabling, and destroying any laboratory smoke detectors.
I love it. It worked.
That was amazing.
And no Mile High bathroom adventures.
Aww.
I couldn't help it.
I hope everybody had a good time. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to the show or watching on YouTube. So next time you go on a flight, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're prepared. Maybe you rewatch this episode and you'll get some tips and on things to make sure that your flight goes well. I can't goddamn talk today. It's ridiculous.
Same.
I prepared for this. I had my notes written. I still goof myself a few times with my speaking. Anyways, I hope you guys have a fantastic night, and I hope that your next trip goes on safely and without a hassle. And on that note, you guys have a fantastic day, a fantastic night, and take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Actor is just, like, aggressively nodding because he can't move on desktop.
So,
yeah, that's all I could...
We have community night Saturday.
I'm so sorry, Lewis. You're gonna have to edit all of my mistakes out.
That's fine.
Trust me, with the topic that we're had, I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't care. Give me all the edits. I would just go ham on this video.
We have community night this weekend, right?
Community.